Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Monday, December 8th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, I'm in a hotel in Calvert County down in Maryland, and bandwidth is horrible here, but I got a great show for you nonetheless. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Maryland, actually Southern Maryland to be exact, and down south here, and flew into Washington, D.C. this morning to take care of a little business this week. Talk about that here in a few minutes, but I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. Those of you on Ustream, I don't think you're getting much of a stream. You may be getting pixelated movements or something, but I thought I would give it a try and see what would happen. But I hope everyone's doing good. But anyway, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Okay, so of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Sign up for our new newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. You can find that via the newsletter link on the website. But, well, I tell you, folks, leaving very warm and balmy, nice 85 to 90-degree Honolulu and coming to 20-degree Dulles in Washington, D.C. is not my idea of fun. I walked out of the terminal this morning, and I thought to myself, you have got to be kidding me. Oh, what a difference 10 hours makes, and what a flight it was. I'll tell you a little bit about something that happened on the flight that was pretty interesting. I don't know if it'll make the news or not, but I've had like two weird flights in a row recently. Something kind of out of the ordinary happened, but I'll talk about that a little later. Okay, a lot of stuff cooking here. Saturday I did the podcast awards ceremony. That turned out really well. It was... well, it had a little bugs in the beginning, but it was basically me turning too many knobs. I had too many things going on at once and just couldn't multitask. But I finally got the rhythm down and was able to get through the podcast awards. Of course, we announced that the People's Choice winner was Manager Tools. It's a business podcast. And the best produced was The Totally Rad Show. So make sure you get over to podcastawards.com. Check out the two top winners over there. And check out their shows. Very interesting podcast, both, of course. Manager Tools is at managertechtools.com. And Totally Rad Show is totallyradshow.com. Links will be on the website at podcastawards.com. Hey, now I am starting my planning in earnest for the 24-hour podcast. Of course, that's going to go down on the weekend of the 21st. I'm going to be here in the Maryland, Alexandria, Baltimore area for the next week here, and I fly back to Honolulu on Saturday, the 13th. I'm still planning on having a meetup on Friday, and I've gotten a number of people that have sent in emails saying that they want to meet up, and I'm thinking if everyone's up for it, and I hope we can, maybe do it around Fairfax or Tyson's Corner or something like that, but let me know. Let me know what you guys think would be an acceptable location. I'm going to be staying at a Hilton very close to Dulles. So I have to leave the location that I'm going to be in. I'm going to be driving for probably an hour and a half to get back over to that hotel on Thursday night. So I'm hoping we can meet maybe 7:30 would be the time frame for dinner. But I'll kind of keep you advised on that. I'll get a feeling for what time I'm going to wrap up my meetings on Friday. What else is going on here? Well, let me talk about my trip out to let me talk about my trip out to DC. It started uneventful. Got a nice upgrade, requested upgrade, and flew out of Honolulu. Got into San Francisco. Did not have a lot of time to spare. The planes were running a little late because of weather. Got into the settled into the air plane on in San Francisco, and I'm going to tell you. Every once in a while, you walk onto an airplane, and the mix of people is kind of different. I'm so used to being on flights where tourists are going to, and this was really all hardcore business people, commuters. Everyone had their crap everywhere, sprawled out, laptops. I mean, it was just like, oh, this is different. It was like an office run. But anyway, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I guess, I'd been asleep in my chair for, and this was in the coach. I'd been asleep for about an hour. And I start hearing, I mean, real close to me, this lady yelling, "Get your hands off me! I've told you 3 times to move," and blah blah. I mean, just going off. And turns out her seatmate was intruding her space. I don't know exactly what happened, but I know that the stewardess was there. And the captain came back, and they moved her. And when we arrived at Dulles, there was 3 or 4 security guys that were waiting on the airplane, and they asked those two to stay seated. Yeah, not good at all. But anyway, that's kind of what happened in Dulles for the. Actually, when the plane arrived, I've never seen cops meet the aircraft like that. For this particular type of an instance, but that's what happened. But she was sitting just right behind me, and boy, that's something you don't want to have to. you stay in your space, and people are very, very sensitive to that on the aircraft. But anyway, that's it on that. Here we are. What are we now? Today is Monday. And let me look at the date again. Today is Monday, December 8th. We're 17 days away from Christmas. How many of you have gotten yourselves into the Christmas spirit? I kind of find myself like being so busy, I haven't even had time to really even realize, man, it's the holiday time. And how many of you have just been like that this year? I know I have. It's been pretty crazy. It really has. So anyway, but that kind of wraps up what's been happening here. Anyway, the podcast awards went off good. 24-hour podcast is still forthcoming. Several of you have wanted to meet for lunch, and I'm going to be all over the place, and I'll see what I can do to schedule a time to do lunch. But it's more than likely Friday dinner. 7:30 or so probably will be the time, and I hope in around the Fairfax area, Tyson's Corner or something like that, and it'll just make it easier for me. I hate to say it that way, but if we can do it in that area, it'd be nice. I don't know how the Beltway is that time of night, if it's easy to get over there or not. I'm sure by 7:30 it probably isn't too bad, but that'll be the plan, and I'll be emailing everyone back. And kind of give them an idea. But if anyone has a suggestions in around Tyson's Corner, a place to eat, that would be great. And originally, we were going to do something in Old Town the last time we tried to do this. But I know Tyson's Corner is kind of mall, and there should be lots of places there to choose from. And hopefully, I don't know, maybe it'd be bad. Maybe it'd be a lot of lines. But maybe we can make reservations at some place. Okay, let me go ahead and move on here, and of course take care of just a little bit of business. I want to, of course, thank GoDaddy.com for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. If you get over to GoDaddy and you're looking for a domain name, a dedicated server, virtual dedicated account, our shared hosting account. Hey, don't forget us when you get to that checkout counter. Hey, this is a great time of year to give the gift of a hosting account as well. Get that 16-year-old of yours set up so she can have a blog, or he can have a blog, and get him involved online. Set them up in their own name. That's the best thing to do, and give them some ownership of it. And when you get that checkout counter, use the promo code TODD. That'll save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders of $20 or more. Or Todd20, of course, will save you 20% on one-year shared hosting accounts. Of course, I want to thank GoToMeeting as well for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. And with the economic times the way they are, sometimes it's just easier to meet online instead of having to get in the car or get on an airplane and drive halfway across the country or fly across the country to meet someone. So the easiest online meeting service, GoToMeeting, really has just gotten easier. If you haven't tried GoToMeeting, which I hope you will try, now is the time, because the new version of GoToMeeting has fully integrated voice over IP. With this new total audio feature, you have more audio options by being able to conference through a phone or the web. Save time, save money, and be really more efficient. Hold an online meeting with GoToMeeting. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free trial today. All right, what have I got lined up for you here? Let me look through the list, and I've got a number of great items today, and I don't think I'm looking here at the Ustream stream. There's no one watching. It must be bad. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to conserve bandwidth and X that, and we will not have live streaming today. Let me shut the camera off so you guys have me all by yourself. Don't you hate? I just hate it. I really do. This afternoon, this morning when I got in the hotel, I checked the bandwidth speed. Everything looked good. Had about 600K up, thought I would be fine. And, of course, this evening the hotel starts filling up, and the bandwidth just goes in the crapper. So I just need a better, you know, even my EVDO connection has not got enough juice here to push a good enough stream to make it worthwhile. So let me go ahead and roll over here. I got some articles loaded up in FeedDemon for us. And one thing that I've been reading a lot about recently, of course, is with me doing some video now, is that online video sites are starting to allow people to put stuff up in HD quality. Now, in all honesty, for online, I really don't know if I want to go HD. I really don't. Now, you guys, I'd like to hear some feedback from you. Are you looking at any HD videos out there? If you are, what do you think of them as a comparison to standard definition? YouTube normal quality is 320 by 180. YouTube high quality is 480 by 270. And really, the difference between that is 350 kilobits versus 1 megabits down with about 25 frames per second. Now, the YouTube HD, which they've introduced, is 1280 by 720. It requires 2 megabits down, and it pushes at H.264 at full frame rate. Facebook is doing similar type of coverage. The folks over at Vimeo are doing 1280 by 720 as well. So a lot of these sites are making this available, but I don't know how many people are really utilizing that. And again, you know, for the Podcast Awards, Podcast Awards ceremony, it was 98 minutes. And my TriCaster records in standard definition. I can put in 16 by 9 or 4 by 3. I had all the cameras set to 4 by 3. And I got done, and I looked at the MPEG encoding of that. And that was 20 gigs. That's how much it took to do a full, no frames dropped, completely pure picture. Now, I encoded it down to, converted it to a .mp4 file, and I ended up with a file size that was about 600 megs, and that was the video that I pushed up to blip.tv. Now, if you go to geeknewscentral.com and you go to the front page and you look at the quality of the video there, I think you're going to agree with me, it's really good. But you know, the source file for that 98-minute video was 600 megs. That took like 2 hours to push up into Blip's server. And when you're trying to do video quick, that is not an option to wait for 2 hours for the video. Of course, no one normally does 98 minutes either. But curious to hear what you guys think of the flash quality of the HD offerings, both of YouTube, Dailymotion, Vimeo, SmugMug, and Facebook. Anyway, that's it on that. You know, another thing too that is being discussed along those lines, and over on Mark Cuban's weblog, he talks about YouTube's desperation. And I don't know if I agree with Mark on this one here. He says that YouTube's video delivery costs are far higher than the estimates we give them credit for. YouTube says they have 13 gigabytes of user-uploaded content every second. And if you look at 12 cents per gig, now I'm guaranteed that YouTube is getting that content delivered much cheaper than 12 cents a gig. But, you know, they have huge, huge upload cost. And so, you know, they're trying to, you know, make some changes to their website. They're making changes in allowing people to push HD. It's going to raise their cost of bandwidth, of course. It's also going to push the amount of bandwidth you're going to use on a downstream. But, you know, I guess they can afford to write the check here. But, you know, Mark's basically saying is that Google is trying to squeeze every nickel they can out of YouTube. And I understand why, by overlay ads and everything else that they're doing, and adding major licensed content from major media sources. So, you know, the website that originally started off as all user-generated content is now, you know, of course, like many other sites, seeing a large mix of mainstream media in it. And I know that upsets some people, but I don't know if there's anything we can do about it. They have to make money, and they got to make licensing deals to happen. But if they're allowing people to push HD, people are going to push it, even though it's going to take longer. But it does seem to me that these websites are, you know, they're making the move very quickly to HD without the underlying infrastructure for those of us that want to push HD in a timely fashion to push it up. You know, at what cost, really? I think it's going to be a big cost to me to push HD, and not just in not necessarily in resources, but in time. I just don't see how I can support pushing HD. Now we record with HD cameras, the raw stuff that we do, and the video we get from that is superb, much better than we would get from an SD camera. But that's the choice that we made, and there's a lot of people out there creating a lot of great content with just webcams. So, you know, you don't have to have a pro version HD camera to shoot video for the web. That's for sure. All right, anyway, going ahead and just move off this topic. But, you know, where do you guys think we're going in this space? You guys, again, do you like the HD? Are you guys going to push stuff to HD? Do you think YouTube's recent changes and how they're doing pre-roll, post-roll advertising, the pop-ups, all that stuff is, do you think that's you know, something that people are just going to live with, or is it going to turn people off and move to other sources? All right, over on Doug Kay's website, Blogarithms, he talks about the New York Times electronic options. And you know, I've got a Kindle, and I have subscribed to a number of periodicals with it initially when I got it, and I just found reading it in the Kindle did not have the same exact experience. Now, he's been able to use read the New York Times in the iPhone, the Kindle, using RSS, using an electronic edition, using a program called iBrowse, and of course the Times Reader. And he basically has went through and done a pretty good review here, and end up saying that hey, the Times Reader is the solution that he prefers. And he talks about the plus and minuses of reading the online newspaper edition with those other devices. So I think it's a pretty good perspective, and I would have to agree with Doug on his assessment here, at least that at least on the Kindle. And I haven't tried the iPhone app. I've done RSS, of course, but on the iPhone, excuse me, on the Kindle, My experience wasn't good. It really, really wasn't. It seems like I was missing so much of the Times articles. It did not seem like I was getting everything that the newspaper would normally have. All right, moving on here a little bit into the science front, and this is from SCIAM.com, Scientific American. They're talking about how meteorites, and this has been speculated before, could have helped to spawn early life on Earth. But there is some new studies that have come out talking about giving this a little more precedence or credence, as you'd say, to the theory that the comets or meteorites hitting Earth may have kind of been like the match that started the fire. And it's through a chemical reaction that would happen when the impact of meteorites on the surface of the Earth or in the water would have helped to have delivered needed carbon and some other type of byproducts to really essentially turn the oceans into a pressure cooker. So it's a pretty interesting read for those of you that are into this. And but anyway, it's over at on scientificamerican.com. Of course, it'll be listed up in the show notes. Now, when I read this article title, I just had to read this. And I'm going to read off a press release that was put up on eurekaalert.org. And it was published on today on December 8th. It says, key to curing obesity may lie in worms that destroy their own fat. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, research into worms that kill themselves by destroying their own fat, how does that relate to people that are obese? Well, there's some enzymes they have found that essentially malfunction on some worms, causing them to really eat the fat, eating their own fat, and in a sense, really consuming themselves. You know, I don't know if there is a enzyme that is working incorrectly in worms that causes them to destroy their own fat, why in the world would I ever agree to have an enzyme put in me that would eat all of my fat? Does it stop there? You need some fat. This is interesting stuff here, and it makes a big dilemma on whether or not you would go for some sort of testing like that. Would you be willing to be on the case study on this when they're, you know, 10 years from now when they're ready to put this enzyme into human testing? I don't know if I would or not. As you all may tell, I'm suffering quite heavily from jet lag today. I did get some sleep this afternoon in the room. I'm also majorly, what is it about cold weather that just sucks the water right out of you? I went and bought a six-pack of bottled water. I am on bottle number 4 already, and this is like, I don't know, I've only been here like 12 hours or so, and I'm just dying. I can't consume enough water, probably because I didn't drink enough on the airplane, but I always drink a lot of water, at least 2 bottles for a 10-hour trip. Probably need to drink more, but anyway, that's here nor there. All right, it is being confirmed that Apple is going to be selling iPhones in Walmart stores starting this month, although they don't think they're going to be for $99. So, you know, that would be the only big thing about them going into Walmart is if they were actually going to be sold for $99. We'll see what the price is. But it looks like it could happen this month, and I'm sure Walmart's probably pushing them to get in there to try to help generate some more holiday sales. But, you know, if you've been able to buy an Apple iPhone at an AT&T store or at an Apple store already, why would you choose to get one at Walmart if the plan is going to be the same on AT&T? I don't know. I don't get that. But I guess they figure this would be a good way to make some sales. For a very long time here on the show, we've been talking about how a lot of companies are in trouble these days, and especially traditional media companies are in trouble. Today, it appears that Tribune Corporation has looking at filing Chapter 11. Now, the Tribune Company is responsible for the Chicago-based Tribune, and I think one other newspaper. I guess they have, the Tribune owns 8 major daily newspapers, including the Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, Baltimore Sun, plus a string of local TV stations. And so, they're looking at filing for Chapter 11 because they just haven't been able to compete and generate enough revenue, along with dwindling advertising sales. They're in big trouble. You know, what do you guys? You know, we all have had fun bashing on old media. What do you guys think will happen if some of these big companies, let's look at the New York Times. Let's say that the New York Times went out of business and there was no more New York Times, or maybe just an online version, but its pool of reporters continued to shrink. Or, for example, this Tribune company goes out of business. Where is the news going to come from? Are we going to, because now you look at what I do for this show, I go out and I basically poll all the places that are creating news. And I get information for this show and I, basically provide commentary on it. So, for example, this particular article came off the Wall Street Journal's website. And if the Wall Street Journal went out of business, this would no longer be a source for me. I'm sure we would adapt and overcome. But who is going to be left, and how are these professional reporters that are out on the street doing these stories going to be able to support themselves? Are we going to go to a news economy that is completely done by people like you and I? You know, I don't think that's the case. You know, I really don't. But one thing it will change is companies that are looking to be featured in news stories or want to be covered are going to have to do a lot better job reaching out to new media folks, and it could be to our advantage for that to happen. But at the same point, that's great for puff and information pieces, but it does nothing to really go after the type of stories that make newspapers sell, scandals, investigations into things. You don't have a lot of bloggers that are doing investigative type of blogging. Now, if you are reading some blogs that are doing investigative type stuff, I'd love to hear from you on blogs that are doing original work that is investigative, is hard-hitting, would be information that you would maybe find in some sort of a scandal in Washington, D.C., as far as a politician goes, or insight into corruption. Where are you finding this information from bloggers that are doing their own source work? Or are all these professional reporters who have had jobs in the traditional media space, are they the ones that are going to go out and find this and then sell that information back to people like you and I in the form of a new type of subscription system on a new news relay service? Or are these companies like the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, are they just going to have to go completely online and maybe themselves pay for stories on a piece-by-piece basis in order to, to get eyeballs on their websites? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But as much as we hate the new traditional media, I shouldn't say hate, but maybe kind of like look upon them and go, ugh, where we actually need them. We really, really do. So love to hear your feedback. geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Real voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. All right, Google has introduced a developer G1 phone. Google has just announced availability of a developer phone that can be purchased by registered Android developers, costing $399, roughly the same price as a contract-free G1 phone from T-Mobile. The phone offers an unlocked bootloader and allows for easy flashing for the installation of custom Android builds. And it's available for purchase in 18 international markets. And you have to pay $25 to be part of the Android Marketplace program. Angelo, if you're listening, you need to go and hit the company credit card up for $25. Get on the Android Marketplace program, and then we'll get you a developer unlocked G1 in order to build some apps out. Actually, we had a listener that sent on an email today that I've got to talk to the board about tomorrow that may be willing to do a application for us. We'll be talking about that in the future. PC World is reporting that President-elect Obama is proposing a broadband and computers as part of a stimulus package. His idea is to roll out broadband and put more computers in schools as a piece of a massive economic recovery package. This is pretty good. I think this is a good one here. If, you know, the more computers, you look at the school, the computers my kids have in their schools in Hawaii, it's horrible. I mean, it is just absolutely sad. And, you know, did I just tell you guys a story about what happened when I went a couple of years ago and I spoke to the, spoke in Las Vegas to the school district there? I went to them out to Vegas to talk to the entire school district about podcasting and new media. They paid me to go out and speak to them. It was one of my first paid speaking gigs. Went out and did about an hour and a half presentation for them. And, you know, I was in a tech center that they had. And what I found out from the administrators were they had this beautiful tech center, lots of computers. Everything was modern, labs that were top-notch. I was really jealous. I really was. But then when we got to talking about bandwidth, that they had a single 200, and this is a huge building, maybe probably 500-600 kids attend, you know, in a morning, half of the day, and then the rest of the day, another section, another 500 or 600 kids come in. Their entire broadband for that school was 256 kilobits on a DSL connection, and they had almost pulled their hair out trying to get that upgraded. Now, what really made me sit back and think about it was the money that they paid me to come out and speak to them, if it had been utilized to buy a bigger broadband pipe, they could have got a lot of money, a lot of bang for their buck, just with the dollars that they spent on me. You know, if they were willing to pay me to come to Las Vegas, come to speak to them about technology, give me an honorarium for doing that, why would they not be inclined to get more than 256 kilobytes into their school? It just blows me away. It really, really did. But anyway, we'll see what he comes up with this initiative, if this actually happens. I don't know what he's going to be able to do about this, you know, rolling out broadband. But it's time. It's time that we get this, get the United States caught up with the rest of the world. You look at Korea. South Korea is just absolutely kicking our butts when it comes to broadband speed. Japan as well. And I think we rank like 23rd or 24th in the world on broadband speed. It's simply amazing that we've fallen this far behind. All right, how many of you use Google Reader? Well, the folks over at lifehacker.com have come up with a pretty cool plugin for Firefox that allows you to maximize the feed reading area even more with what is being called the Absolute Compact, a user-style Google Reader. Absolute Compact packs even more text onto a screen than Google's new default look. And if you are a keyboard shortcut user, this will be a good one for you, but only if you're a good keyboard user, because they just pack a lot in there into the screen. I debated on whether I was going to talk about this article or not, but how many of you have throttled back the old thermostat in your house to save money? How many of you got it to the point where you're wearing sweaters, long sleeve shirts, and just a little chilly in the home? I'm sure many of you are doing that as a cost-saving measure. Maybe you are facing layoffs and you're just trying to save money on the oil that's being burnt in the barrel, or electricity costs, whatever it may be. But you still want to use your computer. Nothing worse than using a computer than having cold hands. Now, usually if on a laptop, you can put your hands on a laptop and keep your hands warm. But if you're using a regular keyboard, you may want to check out these, I'm going to say it, cheesy USB gloves. Now, I'm not going to preempt what they look like, because I know most men will never, ever, their hands would be engulfed in massive frostbite before they would use any of these little gloves. But hopefully, they have some more designs beyond the ones I'm seeing in the picture here over on Engadget. But if you are you get the thermostat turned back this winter and you're looking to warm your hands up, you may want to check out the Thanko USB, I'm going to say it, bear gloves. Link to that will be up in the show notes. Hey, HP and ASU demoed a bendable, unbreakable electronic display today. Pretty cool what they've come out with. We expect to see a pliable laptop at CES 2009, and probably be a few years before these start to come out in the commercial realm. But I'm looking at this thing, and it's actually, they've got it half folded, and it's pretty cool. It really is. Now, how high the quality is, I don't know. But it's a pretty cool picture nonetheless. All right, Netflix. How many of you have a TiVo and a Netflix account? Well, if you have a Series 3 TiVo HD or a TiVo HD XL, you can access thousands of Netflix movies with HD now. Okay, this is something new. So you've got Netflix HD streaming available via the TiVo. So that's pretty cool. TV episodes directly from Netflix through the TiVo DVR and in HD format. Love to hear what your experience is on that, how long the download time is. And, you know, you basically buy the movie and say, come back in 4 hours and watch it, or how fast it actually quits streaming. A little bit of rumors going around whether or not Google's back in the business of looking to build an operating system or not. But some research people are starting to see user agent data. Now, user agent data is the data, is the, okay, I guess the best way to describe it is when you're surfing the internet and you go to a website, I can tell whether or not you're running Windows or a Mac. I can tell if you're using Internet Explorer, Firefox, Safari, or any other browser. I can tell what version you're on. I can tell what type of screen resolution you have. There's just a whole bunch of things that can be gleaned from the user agent. Well, as people are looking at IPs that are owned by Google, it's seeing that at least half of the Google desktops are not reporting a user agent. Now, they don't know if that's for Google's internal, you know, if they're doing that on purpose to keep the rest of the world from knowing what type of computers they're using, or if this is the sign that Google is building its own operating system. And it just doesn't have the user agent put in the browser or whatever they're using or operating system so that they can keep that hid. Now, I don't personally, as many laptops or as many computers as they're saying they're seeing no user agent data for, I would doubt that it would stay a secret. You don't have half of Google testing a Google operating system only to that's just too many people to keep quiet about something like that. All right, if you are a new MacBook user, I hear, and actually I'm getting some email from some listeners as well, are finding out that your MacBooks are pretty cranky. They're having shutdown issues. They've had issues with third-party RAM. It looks like that Apple is starting to trade. Basically, if you're having some issues with putting your MacBook to sleep, they may actually replace it because of people have not been able to solve their the issue. So that basically you put your MacBook to sleep, and really what should happen, you should be able to come back to it the next day, and it'll be an instant on, and it's burned very little of your battery. But what people are finding is that machines are going to sleep, they're waking up, they're going to sleep, they're going to waking up until they dry the burn the battery down. Now, I don't know. I've never, if I use a laptop, it's either on or it's off. I very rarely put my laptop to sleep, especially on the PC side. How many of you on the PC side actually put your laptops to sleep on a regular basis? Or is it just a Mac thing where people are putting their laptops to sleep? On the airplane last night, I saw a guy putting his MacBook to sleep instead of turning it off, and I thought, is that really off? Is it by definition what the airlines want? Is it off? I guess it is. I don't know. But as fast, you know, basically he pulled it out from underneath the seat after we got in the air, and it was just like one click and it was back awake. So it's really kind of like in this virtual standby mode, I would suppose. I don't know how Mac actually handles it. I know how PCs do. And their recovery time is not as fast as the Mac is. How many of you remember as a kid, I think that probably they still make these, the Teledyne water pick. You guys remember that? When I had braces, man, the Teledyne water pick was the bomb. It was the thing that really was the, you know, pressure washer in your mouth. This would help to clean out the junk in between the braces. And, you know, it was a good thing to have. Well, dental air I guess it's called Dental Air Force Pressure Washes. So I guess it's a company called Dental. Kind of weird. Yeah, the manufacturer of the Dental Air Force throws more than just streams of water at your grimy teeth. It uses air pressure and their own proprietary cleaning solution to break down the plaque barrier. It's a pretty pricey unit, $240, and you, in order to the refills for their solution run 30 to 35 cents per dose. But I'm going to tell you, if this thing gets good reviews, I might be considered going on and getting one, just because with dental insurance limitations the way they are today and way kids are, this may be, you know, something that they would use adults to. I don't know. I remember as a kid having that Teledyne water pick, and it really worked good. So I would imagine that these guys have, you know, come up with a new solution. It looks kind of big, to be honest with you. And I don't know. I'd have to see one of these in action. But it's available at dentalairforce.com. And anyway, I'll have that linked up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. All right, reactivating Vista and Parallels 4.0. I got to notice that because I had upgraded to 3.0 late in the game, and I actually made it into a window where I get a version 4.0 upgrade. And I guess some people that are running Vista on Parallels are having a hard time reactivating Vistas, but they have found a workaround. So make sure if you're thinking about upgrading to Parallels version 4.0 and you're running Vista in a virtually with Parallels, that you keep this article bookmarked so that you can reactivate Vista when you are ready to you know, to do that upgrade. Over on Barron's at barrons.com, it appears that Microsoft is going to be unveiling a what they're revealing as a Zune slash danger device. Now, danger device, I'm like, what do you mean by a danger device? There two groups are asserting that the company will unveil a new device combining the features of the company's Zune music player and its Danger Sidekick handhelds, combined with what he describes as some motion enhancement features using an accelerometer like Apple. So I am not at all familiar with this Danger. I'm familiar with the Sidekick, but I'm not familiar with the Danger Sidekick. But I guess it makes sense. If you've got a phone, why not use the Zune features right on, you know, just like Apple has done, hello, and instead of doing it the reverse way. First came the iPhone, then the iPod Touch, which mimicked the iPhone. But we'll see what happens here with this announcement. Of course, this will happen at CES with the keynote with Steve Ballmer. This is a pretty interesting article, and it's over at adage.com. And I when I saw this title, I kind of already knew, not necessarily knew, but here I'm going to just read it to you. What would you pay to see your favorite site ad-free? My initial reaction, just in the reading the title when I was looking through the articles, was I wouldn't pay. You know, being a general consumer, I'm not going to pay. You know, stuff pops up, and I probably ignore 90% of it half the time anyway. Or, you know, 90% of it 90% of the time. So they go into this discussion, and they did a survey to find out if consumers would pay $39.99 a year, which comes out to less than $4 a month, for an ad-free version of one of their favorite sites. As I suspected, only 2.4% said definitely yes, they would likely do so, and only 3.5% said they would be very likely. In fact, 84% of the people said they'd be unlikely or not at all likely. So if you do the math there at $4.99, so let me do the math here, just basically on based on Geek News Central's listener. I'm just bringing up a. If I was to charge $29.99, let me do the math here. I know how many listeners we have, so I do that, and I would times that by point. What did they say there? A 2.4%, so 0.024 equals, and then I would multiply that. Yeah, it wouldn't not be worth it. Maybe. I don't know. But I don't think people will pay. We had this discussion before, and this is not something I'm going to do. We don't need to go through it again, but $4 a month for ad-free content at Geek News Central. I only run 2 ads, so it's not like you're getting a lot anyway. It would have to be something else tied in there to make it enhancing for people to even consider it, I would think. So, anyway, you guys can weigh in on what you think about paying $39.99 to your favorite website to be ad-free. It would have to be the website that you would visit, like, multiple times a day. And there's only a few websites that I do that. All right, all the shortage on Wii players, the Nintendo Wii, how come all of a sudden now the folks at Walmart are saying that they're going to have huge numbers of Wiis available for the holidays? Have these guys been hoarding these things? Going down the rankings here on eBay, the 2008 top gadget list, Nintendo Wii, 2 million units, Microsoft Xbox 360, 1.3 million, Sony PSP, 360,000, iPod Touch, 281K, Nintendo Wii Fit, 266K, which I bought for my wife, BlackBerry Pearl, 207,000, let me just go down here to the bottom of the list, Rock Band 2, 650 related items sold in 2008, MacBook Air, 12,423. So the Wii is still king. And remember, I had so much trouble getting a Wii, but all of a sudden they're just like in the marketplace everywhere. I guess people just quit spending money about the time I was looking for them. Or, those folks stepped up the game and got them into the marketplace. But I guess Walmart has hundreds of thousands of them to sell for the holidays. A good article over on Computer World talking about a brief tour of the software pirate underground scene. Talking about anti-piracy vendors, their continued battles against basically zero-day Juarez sites where essentially individuals get a copy of the software. They go through and they reverse engineer it, and they come up with a unlock hack, and then they put those up on websites for people to download for a fee. Finds out that this is still a thriving business. It's doing very well. The underground of selling software, a $1,000 application that's been cracked by a group, someone's probably willing to pay $50 or $100 for that application instead of paying the full $1,000 to the vendor. But, would those people have the question that I ask when it comes to piracy, software piracy, is would the people, if there was no pirate sites available, would have they paid for the software initially anyway? Would have they broke down and got their wallets out? I'm betting that most people, and like me, I buy all my software. I just don't want to go through the hassle. Plus, I want to have the rewards of getting the upgrades at the reduced rates, getting the patches, not have to worry about any type of code that's being jammed into the software. And I know a lot of people are probably running Juarez or pirated software on their computers. Now, just be careful out there, okay? And I'm sure many of you have been doing it for years, and I know how the sites work. I know what's available out there. But, being in business and having a company, that's the last thing. There's big fines for companies if someone basically says, hey, they're running a hack software. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And for most companies, it's not worth it. But I know some people skirt the law out there. Just be careful if you are, especially if you have an employee and you fire someone and they know and they turn you in, it could be very, very ugly. But I don't think people that won't pay for it would have paid for it otherwise. All right, Facebook Worm is hijacking web search again. A new variant of the Kubeface Worm has returned to menace users of Facebook. As before, the malware generates messages to friends infected users on the social networking website, and these messages direct the unwary visitor into visiting websites that supposedly offer video clips, and then it basically the video site says, hey, you need a new version of Adobe Flash, and really what it is a malware, and you become infected. So be very careful out there. I'll have this linked up in the show notes. For those of you that are heavily into a Facebook, you want to check it out. All right, moving on, Vista SB2. PC World is not giving it a glowing review. It's basically saying nothing new. It's everything that is going on is behind the scenes. You really can't see how it's interacting, you know, what it's done to really improve the user experience, minus a few changes to Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So it's kind of curious what I would expect to have had seen some enhancements to the, you know, visible enhancements to Vista. But I don't think that's what we're seeing here, so that's what PC World's reporting. All right, last article of the evening is on laptop searches at borders might get restricted. It's being reported that there may be some scaling back and laptop, basically laptop searches for people coming back from overseas trips. With my wife and I contemplating going to Okinawa to see some of her family, it makes me really begin to think about what I will actually have on my laptop if I do go on international travel. You know, I think you're safe as long as you don't have something on there that you wouldn't want someone to see. And, you know, illegal software, pictures that could get you thrown in jail anywhere in the United States, that type of material. Otherwise, I think for the majority of people, we're probably all relatively safe. Now, there is, you know, the privacy intrusion that you have to deal with, but I guess it is what it is. But right now, they're saying that there may be some scaling back, but no guarantees at this point. All right, I've got I got one voicemail for you, and then I have a number of emails. Did you guys notice tonight on the recording, I'm traveling with my normal travel gear, the audio sounds real tinny, and I don't know where it's I haven't changed anything on the rig, but it's not like it was, for sure. And I was listening to some audio earlier. I'm like, this is not the normal audio output for the show. So apologize for that. I'll look at the system here, but you know, when you pull it out of the box and set it up on a hotel desktop, it's basically just have to, you know, you deal with what you have at the time, but there's something that's not quite right. Okay, let me go ahead and play this voicemail. As always, you can send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Here comes the voicemail, and I did preview this. You need to listen real careful because I had a hard time understanding one part of this, but you'll be able to figure it out from his conversation.
Hey, Todd, it's Joe from Oklahoma. I heard that you had a listener that was looking for information on the fuse, not the fuse, not a little ball that you hit with plastic men. I know you're giggling right now. The Fuse or the HTC Touch Pro.
Yep.
I wrote a rather extensive 3-part review on it. I broke the rules about brevity on blogs. Anyway, you actually linked to it in the show notes on last Friday's show, which would have been November 28th, I believe. And it's in the top section, the listener link section of the show notes, if he wants to go back to those show notes, links directly to my blog. If he has any questions, he can, you know, feel free to email me. There's an email link on the blog, and there should be. I've been doing some rearranging on it and may have dropped it off. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. If he wants to see that, also there's a site called fusemobility.com. You can also look at the Singular forums, and XDA Developers has a whole section on it, and that is forum.xda-developers.com. And what he wants to look for is the forum for the Raphael, Raphael. That's the, I guess that was the code name for the Touch Pro, but that's what you'll find the XDA Developers on. Anyway, that's all I've got. Love the show. Keep up the good work, and aloha.
All right. Hey, thanks for the email. Appreciate that. I'm not email. The voicemail. Appreciate that. I got some good comments in there. Hopefully everyone was able to get that URL written down. And I hope I'll be able to extract that for you out of the show notes. Hey, let me go ahead and get into the email here. Got an email from Edwin. He said, "Hey, Todd, it certainly looks more basic than the original newsletter, which I stayed subscribed to. It looks like it's been through some sort of HTML to text filter or something." Yeah, Edwin, I think that was my bust on the last email sent out on the new newsletter system. Make sure that you are able to accept HTML formatted newsletters. That's what the newsletters are coming in as. I may have done a little bit of a goof up on when I sent it myself this last time, so I apologize on that, but thanks for keeping me square, and we'll get through the growing pains of sending the format the correct way. Bree, I got your email on the dinner on the 12th. So I'll have you down. I'll be in contact with you. And I got an email from Pete. He says, "Hey, yes, for feedback on the format. Here's how I got it. It is certainly not formatted to be as easy to read as the old newsletter." Same thing, Pete. I think you got it in a non. Basically, it was sent to you in non-HTML formatted, which I should have done. Hopefully, that'll get fixed this go round. I got an email from Richard. "Hey, Todd, I'd like to meet Friday night for dinner while you're here in D.C. Let me know where, and I'll be there. You can reach me at my cell. Many thanks, Richard. Look forward to seeing you out there, Richard." Got an email from an anonymous sender. Actually, I know who it is, but he has asked me not to say his name or city on the show in regard to this response. And this is basically involving layoffs. He says, "My company deals with a lot of companies, and several of our big clients have canceled contracts due to the economy. We have let go most of our contractors. Needless to say, the regular employees here are very worried for our jobs. I myself am prepping for the worst and told the wife about the situation and to be ready. Luckily, we have a little money in the bank, family and friends to help us if necessary." Boy, I tell you, I just can't imagine the number of people that are getting laid off, how many people are in that situation as well. If you still have your job, here's, a rule of thumb that I have tried to live by. And I don't know if it's possible for all of you to do this, but I try to have at least, at a bare minimum, 90 days. 90 days of ready cash available in my basically my savings account that I can use to, if my salary is, if I lose my salary today or lose a sponsor today, I would be able to survive for 90 days at a very minimum. In the way this economy is, you need to be, it's really 6 months. You need to be, try to have enough cash build up that you can ready access. That's not going to hit your retirement money, or you're not going to pull money out of investments. With whatever's left with investments these days is, that's the next thing. But if you can build up enough cash reserve for 6 months, and if you're still working, better start, lay away as much cash as you can, just in case. And that gives you a little more breathing room, because if you go on unemployment, unemployment benefits do not replace your paycheck. You're only getting a percentage of what you would normally get to what you would normally get from your normal salary. So I am sure many of you are aware of that, but it's just one of those things where that's the rainy day fund that I've always had, just in case. Obviously, keeping money in savings accounts today don't make a lot of sense, especially from an investment perspective. But I think recently, the way the stock market has gone, maybe it was more safe than I thought it was. Got an email from Ron. "Hey, Todd, recently signed up for the Google server for the new show notes. Nothing happened, so I signed up again using alternate Gmail address. Still nothing. I did check the online spam folder in case your message was filtered out, but there was nothing. I made the mistake. I removed myself from the old list, so I haven't read the show notes for 3 shows notes. I can go to geeknewscentral.com and read, but that still isn't as convenient. Can you see if you can add?" He gives me the address to the list. Ron, I've added you. You already were in the list, but your email address wasn't verified. So use that email address to log into the Google Groups account for the show notes. I believe, and if you sign up on your Gmail account and still aren't seeing nothing, that's very odd. This is the first I've heard that people are still not getting the show notes from, that's an opt-in. We're doing what we can do. I don't know what else to really do to try to push stuff out. Got an email from Terry. I was working with three of these, and this is a response to the BlackBerry Storm. I was working with three of these this week, and my little review is that the BlackBerry has the default response speed really slow on the scrolling and touch sections. If you speed them to their max speed, its response time is very good to an iPod Touch or iPhone. I did like the keyboard options better on the BlackBerry, better than the iPhone. You have to press into the screen for it to register the key press on the on-screen keyboard. Great show as always. Keep up the good work. Hey, thanks for that, Terry. Definitely appreciate it. On Time Machine, I got a response by Lamar. He said, hey, Todd, 20 hours to delete files has to mean that there has to be a bigger problem. It wasn't a problem deleting the files, I don't think. Yeah, maybe it was in that article that Doug wrote. I'm a newbie to the Mac world, and I see some things that are better, while there are some things I miss from the Windows world. Quickly, I whacked my 500-gig drive and recovered it entirely minus one day using Time Machine, backed up to another 500-gig drive. I never had that experience with Windows Backup app. Not a Microsoft hater, but I think there's some larger issues with that guy's machine. Love the show. And he's using a Drobo. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I got an email from Brian. Hey, Todd, did you see this? It looks like something you would love to do. I would. And what it is they, some amateur radio aficionados, launched a weather balloon into near space early this month. It was the sixth highest launch of its kind in the world, and they estimate that the whole experiment cost around $400, and the most expensive thing was a 130 digital camera I bought off eBay. So pretty cool they launched that and got some data. And another one was to take a standard KCI 1200 sounding balloons, add a payload of a digital camera and FM transmitter coupled to a GPS receiver and let it fly. It says the Sable 3 website shows much more stunning photos taken during a flight, documents the preparation of the launch, and the recovery of the camera. It would be pretty hard to do in Hawaii. My recovery would require a boat. I got an email from Brian. Hey, Todd, I'm just resending this again from my other account, Case. I did not mean to send this the first time. I got it from you. Thanks for that. Hey, Barry in D.C., lunch is going to be really tight in D.C. because of my schedule. I'm going to do the best I can to hook up with you. We'll let you know how the schedule develops throughout the week. Hey, I want to thank Jim W. for sending the email on aluminum MacBooks Unstable from a third-party RAM upgrade. Have that link up in the show notes. And I got an email from, I don't know who this, I don't think this is an actual listener, so I'm going to withhold making comment on this particular email. All right, folks, we're just over an hour. How about that? Seems like my little bit on the road shows are a little bit shorter than my on the home in the home front shows. But it's a good thing here. It's already, what time is it? Is it 10 p.m. local, something like that? So let me get this thing knocked out and in the bag and up on the website, and then you guys will be able to get an early download of this thing. So y'all take care. Have a great week. We'll see you on Friday. I hope that the weather doesn't get nasty here. But I'll be in touch with all of you that are talking about doing a dinner. And again, Fairfax is kind of my plan, or Tyson's Corners area. It seems to be kind of what I'm preferring. If you guys have a better suggestion, please let me know right away what that suggestion would be. Maybe something that would not be as crowded. But I would like to do someplace where it's kind of where we can sit down, order. It doesn't have to be super fancy. Can just be kind of a standard, you know, place to eat and a place where we can chat and there's not a huge amount of noise. But anyway, that's it for tonight. And as always, I want to thank you for staying subscribed to the show. Tell your friends about the podcast. This is the time of year where people are stuck indoors and looking for something to do. Turn them on to this show. Okay, we appreciate it when you do that. You help us grow the audience internally. Nothing better than an internal subscriber recommendation. Talking about the podcast, it's always greatly appreciated. This is the time of the year that I definitely try to build the audience size of the show, and hopefully that we're having a good job. We're having, you know, it looks so far like we're doing a good job doing that. Big thanks to all the sponsors, of course. But until next time, until Thursday, actually, I'll be recording this Thursday early enough that I can actually say it's Thursday versus Friday. Y'all have a great week. Until then, take care and aloha.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.